It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now we continue with the study of Acts, Acts chapter 23. If you remember the last time, we looked at Acts chapter 22, and we read about Paul being brought before the Sanhedrin. And here in chapter 23, immediately, something happens to Paul. And we see what I want to call a hypocrite, and you'll see why in just a few moments. This hypocrite wants Paul hit in the mouth. And this word whited, once again, we're going to read about the whited sepulcher here, whitewashed this person. Now, let's read chapter 23 and verses 1 through 3, and we'll continue on. It says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him in the mouth," or on the mouth. "Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" You see, in these verses that we've just read, in one of the verses in particular, it says Paul stated that he had lived in all good conscience before God. This, of course, is verse 1. Conscience here means co-knowledge, that inner voice that tells us how to behave based on what we've learned. And once again, Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit. And this conscience, this word conscience here, goes deeper than just a human conscience. This is God consciousness. Well, this word and this man, this word Ananias, this name, commanded that Paul be struck on the mouth, according to verse 2. Now, I draw to your attention another Ananias, and this Ananias that we're reading about here in Acts chapter 23, this Ananias, of course, was not the same high priest as at the time of Christ. You'll read about that as you go back and study the Word of God. It's not the one that lived at the time of Christ some 30 years before. This priest was a political appointee, notoriously corrupt and cruel. And, of course, we study this and we find that he was destined soon for assassination by his Jewish countrymen when they rebelled against Rome only a few years later. And once again, this is not the Ananias of chapter 5 who lied to the Holy Spirit and died. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, they sold some property and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And this is also not the same Ananias of Acts chapter 9 or Acts chapter 22 and verse 12. This is the Ananias in Acts chapter 9 who helped Paul after his conversion. Now, once again, we think about this man, this Ananias, who told the people standing there, told them to hit Paul in the mouth. Well, hitting on the mouth was a means of silencing a speaker for saying what was thought to be false. In John chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, "And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so?" So Paul, if he had been struck in the mouth, it was the same thing as Jesus being struck in the mouth. In other words, to stop the person from talking. Well, Paul responded, not knowing that Ananias was high priest. Paul said, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." We see that in verse 3. Well, Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, he talks about scribes and Pharisees. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." This is what Paul is talking and saying to this person. He's saying primarily the same thing that Jesus said back in Matthew 23 when he called the Pharisees and scribes hypocrites, whited sepulchres. And that's the way it is with men and women who walk around today without Jesus Christ. Their bodies are full of dead men's bones. They're the walking dead. And what I mean by that is this. The Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and sins until we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Full of dead men's bones, people can be as good looking on the outside as they want to be, and they try to be. They can put on nice clothes, makeup, or what have you, and they can actually act very good. But if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, they're just like the person walking about who's dead. They're full of dead men's bones. And that's what the Bible is teaching. And unless you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a dead person walking, dead in trespasses and sins. You must come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior in order to receive eternal life. And once again, we're told and we're taught in the Word of God that when a person receives Jesus Christ, we become alive. Alive unto Jesus Christ. Well, notice something here now. Paul noted, and we get back to chapter 23 of Acts now, and in verse 3, Paul noted that he had commanded him, in other words, that this Ananias had commanded him to be struck contrary to the law. Well, Paul had not even been formally charged with any offense, let alone tried and found guilty. Now, hypocrite or high priest, we think of this person that has told these people now to strike Paul. Was he a high priest or a hypocrite? He was both. In Acts chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Now, Paul didn't realize he was the high priest, evidently, here. But once again, we keep reading and we find out, and as that verse and those verses have said, when Paul spoke to Ananias, those standing near asked him, don't you realize who you're speaking to? You're reviling, you're verbally attacking God's high priest. Well, then Paul did not know Ananias was the high priest, and Paul had been gone from Jerusalem for several years. He could not have known Ananias by sight. But nevertheless, Paul quoted Scripture in response to this man. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28, it says, "You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people." In other words, he would not speak evil of the person if he had known who he was. The reason Paul apologized is that part of what he said to the high priest was against the law. But it was not the part about calling the high priest a whited sepulcher or a whited wall. That was wrong. It was instead Paul's asking God to smite or strike the high priest. That was the curse against the leader that he repented of. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 28, it says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods nor curse the ruler of thy people," speaking to the Jewish people. Well, notice now, let me say this, that you need to go back and you need to restudy these verses that we're going through. Let God speak to your heart and study this. The Bible says to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Go back and study these scriptures as I'm giving them to you, and let God speak to your heart. And by the way, once again, at the end of the program, you'll be able to hear the announcer will give websites where you can go to, and you can download these programs that we're going through, these studies on the book of Acts. And you can also download other studies that we've done. Well, we keep reading now in Acts chapter 23, and we're going to read Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 10. And we see here a division that the Sanhedrin was divided here. Acts 23, verses 6 through 10. "But when Paul perceived that the one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confessed both. And there arose a great cry. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. When there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Once again, the chief guard, if you want to put it that way, he rescued Paul because, once again, we go back to chapter 22 and we see how that he was almost killed by the mob. They were beating him, and the head soldier grabbed Paul and had him taken up and rescued him. And now, once again, this has taken place to keep Paul from being killed. Well, in these verses that I've just read, Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 10, Paul recognized that there were Sadducees and Pharisees present in the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin, this is the supreme Jewish judicial. And the sect of the Sadducees professed to be Orthodox Jews, believing in the Mosaic laws, but were actually materialists, believing in neither bodily nor spiritual resurrection. Nevertheless, they were more powerful politically than the more biblically oriented Pharisees. Now, Paul made it known that he was a Pharisee and was being judged concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead. Verse 6. This caused a dissension among the Sanhedrin, according to verse 7, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. See, they were at odds against each other here. And Paul, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, was the one who's telling them about these things so that they would get confused. Well, as we read these verses that we find here in Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 10, once again we see that the scribes of the Pharisees spoke out that they found nothing evil in Paul. In other words, they believed him, not necessarily to the point of salvation, but they believed in what he had said. And once again, the people were about to tear Paul apart. They wanted to kill him, some of them did. And they were coming for him, so the Roman commander was afraid that Paul would be killed and ordered the soldiers to take Paul back to the barracks. Well, next, as we look further into Acts chapter 23, we find that the Jewish plot against Paul's life is present here in Acts chapter 23. And in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, it says, And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So God came and he said, Look, things may be bad. You may be thinking it's really bad, but be of good cheer, because I want you not only to speak of me in Jerusalem, which you've done, but I also want you to go to Rome and testify of me. And of course, this is the Lord speaking to Paul the following night, after the confrontation with the Sanhedrin. Now, the plan, there's a plan of the Jews here. They plan to kill Paul. And we read about that in Acts chapter 23 and verses 12 through 15. And we'll pick up there the next time. God loves you today. If you're not saved, you need to ask him to come into your heart so you can go to heaven. And if you are saved, you need to be serving the Lord and asking him to use you for his honor and his glory.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.